the Old Testament, tells us about a herald that is going to come. God would send a messenger to prepare the way for the Jewish Messiah, our Savior that we know today as Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Last night when I left the Christmas tree lighting, that some of us at the church was there, we sang a song, a joyous song, and we got a chance to spend some time with the community. We saw the lighting of the church. We heard the principal speak a little bit about the community. And as I was getting ready to leave, I sent a note to my wife. I said, "Hey, I'm on my way home." I think maybe she even asked me, "How long is it going to take?" So she had, as soon as I said, "I'm on my way home," there's an expectation, right? Now, could you imagine if it was 400 years later before I showed up? This is what happened. We read this, you know, we ought to understand God's timing and our timing is not always the same. When God says he's going to do something, unless he gives us a precise date, his coming is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. We have to be patient. The prophet Malachi here says he's coming, it's happening, but yet this message was given somewhere around maybe 400, 430 years before the actual messenger had come, that messenger that God was going to send. God tells the people of Israel the Jewish Messiah is coming, but the one who is coming will have one before him that will prepare the minds and the hearts to receive him. You all understand that we're still fulfilling that mission, not in the direct sense here of Malachi. Malachi said this messenger is coming, but do you realize you and I are still filling that role? We're still reminding and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. That's our role. I hope you understand as we talk about the messenger this morning, that you understand that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you're called to fill those same shoes. In December of every year, we begin preparing for the celebration of our Savior, a time when we set aside and say, this is a day we remember. Of course, as Christians, we should be celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ all of our lives, all of the time, 365 days a year, as we ponder and consider how we go about living our lives. But we set aside a time where we're going to celebrate, and I hope and pray that your Christmas celebration has some Christ in it, that you actually spend some time communicating with your family, your loved ones, that this is not just about a fellow that comes down a chimney. This is meant to be Christmas. It's about Jesus Christ. But I would imagine those of you who have plans or you have some activities that you're going to do, you're already, things are rolling around in your mind. Dates are being set. Preparations are being made in the home, possibly, or at least you're thinking about it. Who's going to cook what? Who's going to bring what? What house you're going to? There's lots of preparations that need to be made. The prophet Malachi said there's going to be some preparations made prior to the coming of the Messiah. The Old Testament prophets shared that God would make preparations for this coming of the Jewish Messiah, who again, we Christians recognize and understand as Jesus. And a herald was going to be sent, one who would come and prepare the way, and he was going to be preaching repentance and the necessity of them to seek the forgiveness of their sins. He was going to be speaking to the Jewish nation that needed to understand that they needed to respond to this Messiah. They should not be arrogant about assuming they were where God needed them to be. They needed to listen and to respond to the one who he was sending to them, so that they may receive this relationship that he so freely offers. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, if you're one who does that once in a while, it'd be valuable for you in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, to just write on there, John. Because this messenger is John the Baptist. Now, they weren't familiar with it at the time, and Malachi doesn't mention it. As a matter of fact, our text this morning, where we're going to be talking about John, again, doesn't mention John, but Malachi 3:1, this messenger is John. And it's not only just John. If you sometimes may get confused, this is John, the John in the Bible that we often call John the Baptist. He is the messenger. The prophet further speaks of the herald in chapter 4 of his book. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So again, you might be reading this, well, wait a minute, you're sending a messenger, and you just told me it's going to be John, and now Malachi is saying it's Elijah. Here again is where you need to read the full text of the Word of God. Do not be careful. So easy for us to be misled or confused. We need to treat the Bible in the same way that we treat any book. You don't just read one verse, one chapter, one section. You read it all so that you can understand what's going on. And if you read the volume of the Scripture, you'll understand clearly. Again, you can mark down. You can put a little sign above Elijah, Malachi 4:5. This is speaking about John the Baptist. Jesus makes it clear for us. He says, listen, he says, he's speaking to the people in his day, if you are willing to accept it, and not about you this morning, but if Jesus says it, I'm willing to accept it. Jesus said, if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Now, there are those, especially of the Jewish faith, who are still waiting for Elijah. I've heard them talking about having some of their meals and their celebrations actually setting aside a plate, kind of a traditional thing that they do, and maybe even a cup of wine, and they put there and they talk to others about waiting for Elijah to come. Those who have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ are still looking for Elijah. Yet Jesus makes it so clear, Elijah has come, and it is John the Baptist. So really what Malachi was saying, although you wouldn't fully have understood it just reading in Malachi, what Malachi was saying, there was going to be someone who was coming in the spirit of Elijah. In other words, there was going to be someone who was coming that was going to be like Elijah. It was going to be a prophet. And he was the one who was going to prepare the hearts and minds of the receiving of the messenger, or excuse me, of the Messiah, Jesus, who we know as Jesus. If you're willing to accept that John is this Elijah. Now, what we're reading this morning is going to be the prequel of this messenger, John the Baptist. His parents, John's parents, were both of the priestly family of Levi. Now listen to the voice of Zechariah, his father. So this is the father of the messenger who we know to be John the Baptist. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation," just speaking of the power of God, "a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child," now he's speaking to John, speaking to his child John, "and to you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Because the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Lynn, would you ask a blessing on our sermon? blessed be the Lord. You notice Zechariah opens up his prophetic statement by saying, blessed be the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but as I read that, as I was pondering my sermon this week, I sort of felt like, you know, I need to think about it from that perspective a little more often. Maybe I should speak that way in my prayers. Blessed be the Lord. Don't we have so many things to thank Him for? It's a way of speaking graciousness towards God because of what He's done. Blessed be the Lord. Zechariah here is saying in the scripture we just read this morning, is happening. In a similar way, a child might get excited when the family is packing for a big trip. Maybe you remember a time when you were a child and somebody said you were going to go do something. Something was going to happen. You were going somewhere, and you begin to vision your mind that place, and you got all these ideas, and you're in anticipation of it happening. And then all of a sudden, stuff starts getting shoved into the car, mom and dad are probably fighting a little bit about what goes where, right? But as these preparations are taking place as a child, you're starting to get excited. Just imagine the excitement of Zechariah. It had been some 400 years that God had spoken, is this happening? And it's going to happen. It's going to happen in His time. And Zechariah has been told by the angel that it's going to be his son who's going to be the very one who's going to open up the pathways and prepare hearts and minds. I don't think we could fully grasp this, the excitement that Zechariah is having and why things upon God, that he's not only bringing this about, but also utilizing Him. I want to tell you this morning, God is still wanting to utilize us to bring about this promise, because until everyone in the world has proclaimed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's still work to be done. You, my friend, this morning, if you proclaim faith in Jesus, you're still fulfilling that role. Zechariah was saying, God is remembering us in our oppression and is bringing freedom. Now, this freedom is going to be different than the freedom that God gave when he helped the children of Israel get out of enslavement from Egypt as they were traveling into the promised land, as God was freeing them. This freedom here was something that was going to be way beyond anything physical. This is going to be a spiritual freedom. This is going to be a freedom that's given to you that no man can ever take away, regardless of what's happening around you. You are being set free to becoming a child of God, a permanent child of God. No person can take away the freedom that Jesus offers. A freedom, praise God, that is not limited to race or color or nationality or a certain area of the land. It was always meant that to be that way, but Jesus really expresses it so clearly that He opens His arms up to any and all who will respond in faith. Sadly, it is us. It is us who wants to put limitations. And we're studying Acts on Wednesday nights. Again, I encourage you. I would love to see this many show up on a Wednesday night. We're discussing, although this Sunday we're not in Acts, but generally we've been in Acts, and we're watching how the church is wrestling with fitting people in and figuring out how they fit and how these different people from different races and different viewpoints, how they're coming in and they're being called by God and being a part of the church. It is us. We put so many limitations on people. We have these expectations of what they should and should not do and how they would fit in here. Praise God. Are you thankful that you serve a God that this has come to me? Don't fix yourself. Don't straighten yourself out. Just respond in faith. Trust me. I'm reaching out to you. He's setting them free to be free indeed. This Redeemer who is coming will be merciful and faithful. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. Mercy is this picture, this idea that we're receiving something we don't deserve. How many of you can say this morning that you've received some things you didn't deserve that you wanted? Right? There's some things I didn't want that I got that I didn't deserve necessarily too. But there's been wonderful things, so many wonderful things in my life that I've received that I didn't deserve. 32 years of marriage is my wife. Many things in my life. And I praise God. I serve a God that wants to give you mercy. He's offering mercy, and Jesus Christ is offering that to all. The faithfulness here speaks of God's faithfulness, not ours. I think that's so important. We think about our relationship with God, and somehow we're the one that has to keep taking hold of you. I like what Paul says in 2 Timothy. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. When you proclaim faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a part of his family. And he is continually, can I say harassing? He's continually coming after us through the Holy Spirit, searching and seeking and pondering and pushing and pulling, whatever it takes to get us to fulfill his will in our lives. God is reaching out to us. I'm so thankful that my faith, my ability to be a part of God and to be a part of his forever family is based on what Jesus Christ did for me. Not what I did in my initial response to Jesus Christ, and not what I'm still doing. It's based on what Jesus Christ has did for me. When we respond to him, we become a part of him, a part of his family. John records in his gospel that Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. And it's upon his faithfulness that we rely on, not ours. Now listen as Zechariah talks about his son, John. Again, back in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. John shall be called the prophet of the Most High. Now, he is not the Most High. That is going to be the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But he is the prophet of the Most High. And he is going to be speaking about the King who is coming. John chapter 7, verse 28, verse 8. Jesus says of John, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. John the Baptist did a wonderful act in fulfilling what God has called him to do. Just as you and I hope and pray, are seeking to fulfill what it is that God has gifted us and talented us to give on. And I don't know about you, but I just can't imagine any higher words. Of those born of women, none is greater. But I want to tell you this morning, John the Baptist knew his place, just as you and I should recognize and know our place. You know, you remember what John said about Jesus? When some were looking to John and thinking that he's so great and that they should be following him, what was it that John said? Anybody remember? General, I'm not asking for the exact. Well, what did he say about Jesus? I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I'm not even worthy. John recognized his place. Listen, that wasn't as though John thought that he was less or any less value than any other person, but he said, in comparison, I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. John recognized he was not the Messiah. Sadly, we, whether we're a pastor behind a pulpit, and I would tell you, I'm more susceptible to that than you probably. Maybe not. But to some extent, those who are pastors, teachers, we get this Messiah complex sometimes that we think we're God. And I'll tell you, any Christian can be challenged by that. We think, I'm the one who's handing out God. I'm the holder of truth, and therefore you must follow my pathway. Listen, I'm going to tell you, what we need to be doing is the same thing that John did. I'm not him. All I'm doing is pointing you to him. Like I've said to you before, it's like I'm taking you through, like I'm a guide in a museum. All I'm doing is trying to point you to the way. You need to respond to him in a personal way. Listen, don't ever sit and say that you're serving me in any way, shape, or form, or any other person who should preach or teach to you. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, as an individual, as Christians, you need to understand you're not God. Never put yourself in that position. Just help others to see and humbly help them to see the truth of this salvation. Zechariah tells us, in the process of preparing the people to receive Jesus and his message, John will be sharing some things of the coming Lord. Sharing the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. And I don't know about you, but that's a message that we hear so many times in church. How many sermons, how many Bible studies, how many messages do we hear? Why do you think that happens so often? Because it is something that we need to be continually reminded of. Not only that we need forgiveness, but praise God that we can receive forgiveness. It doesn't matter what heinous thing you may have done before you walked into this building. Forgiveness is freely offered if you simply respond to Jesus Christ in faith. I don't know about you, but that is a freeing message. I want that forgiveness. I need that forgiveness. Jesus says there are none good, no, not one. We all need that forgiveness. And sadly, there are many people that don't cross over and accept in faith in Jesus Christ, but they don't want to accept the necessity to humble themselves before a holy God and say, I need you, God. Zechariah further says that those who sit in darkness will find light. And the world is full of darkness. Do I need to tell you that this morning? Pick up your phone, wherever you go to read about the news. I've shared this with you before. I don't watch much news anymore. I don't pay much attention. I've just gotten tired. What does it seem like everybody wants to tell us? Terrible things are happening. It's a coming. You got to get ready. We're all going to die of this. We're all going to die at some point anyway. Why? Is it only me? Or have I just gotten to a point in my life where it just seems like, now listen, I know that's not totally true. You could probably think of an example where some report was put out that it was good. But I'm going to tell you, the vast majority of all the news is all about how terrible life is. And listen, it's not like, there's some truth behind that as well. Not all of us, don't trust them, everything. There's a lot of truth there. There are some bad things happening in this world. We live in a world that it is full of darkness. And Zechariah is saying that his son is going to be talking about this one who's going to bring light. I had a co-worker years ago who wasn't a Christian. And him and I, we were talking about making a difference in the world. And he said, I just don't think we make a difference. Why even try, you know? And I told him, I said, you know, honestly, I said, here's how I look at it. If I can do something that can just slightly put a smile on somebody's face, I brought light to the world. You know, we got this concept here that I'm not doing anything unless I'm changing many things. Listen, if you're just kind to the poor at the drive-thru that's handing out that 100th sandwich for the day, and yes, I know the order's probably wrong, but listen, it's not everyone's fault. And maybe it was, but here, couldn't you be kind to them? Bring a little light. Jesus Christ come to give light, and do you understand how he's given that light out today? It's through you all. And you can make a difference. I know during this Christmas season, quite often, there's a lot of conversations that even movies put out and whatever this suggests. And this, again, this, we're supposed to be doing this all year long, attempting to bring light into the world. Not only in our own families, I hope you're working at that as well, but out in the marketplace, in our communities. Just be nice, right? We are making a difference. I want to encourage you, just if nothing else, just for this week, spend a little bit of time and think about what can I do to just lift somebody's day, just a little bit, just make a little difference. You're making a difference. You're bringing light into this world. God, and listen, we sometimes forget that Jesus Christ didn't and simply whisk us away into heaven. I don't know about you, but I've been standing here for a while. Jesus Christ has not whisked. He is intended for us to continually bring light into the world and those people around us. And can I say, we're not necessarily to only give it to those who deserve it. We're to give it to those who absolutely don't deserve it, because that's what Jesus Christ did for us. The world is full of darkness. You be part of that light. And lastly, John is telling us that the coming Savior will guide our feet into the way of peace. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I talk often about the importance, and I hope it's true, that you pick up the Word of God and you read it. You take time to meditate and search it out. And yes, question and ponder and pound and ask questions and have discussions with other people about what's going on. But in the Old Testament, that's what they were giving. They were given the literal words in front of them that sometimes, again, of course, they didn't have printing presses. And all of it wasn't written in the very beginning. But as it's being written and as it's being given out, they were given an opportunity to read these written words. And praise God, it does bring light to us. It does help light our path as to what we are doing. The best policy, the best procedure you could ever have to resolve anything doesn't do any good if you've got it in a door, a drawer, and it sits there. God is offering us, attempting to light our path through the Word. But as we get into the New Testament, we realize that this Word is encapsulated in who? In Jesus Christ. John's Gospel shares it so strongly when he speaks in chapter 1 that Jesus is the Word. So not only do we have the physical words here, but we also know we also have Jesus Christ in the sense that we can read and understand Him as we study the Word of God. You want to be lighted? Do you want? I know every one of us here. I can say this confidently. Every one of us here wants to do what's best for themselves today and tomorrow and on and beyond. And you see that Jesus Christ came to light the path so that you could do that very thing. We get caught up in this idea that Jesus is going to ask too much of me. Do you understand? Whatever it is that Jesus asks of you is lighting your path, and that pathway is a way of peace. Today, of course, this is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us directly. Jesus Christ, I've never physically met Jesus Christ. I never saw Him eye to eye. But I have met the Holy Spirit. Jesus says to the disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus Christ is with us today through the Holy Spirit. Not only as we read His Word, but in spirit and in truth as we share it. As we attempt to respond and listen as He guides us, this place of peace, this special herald has come, and his name was John, and he came in the spirit of Elijah. We were just discussing again a couple Wednesdays, and I think maybe even last Wednesday night, how important it is to respond when God speaks. You know, when someone in authority, think about when you're in traffic and you're driving down and a police officer all of a sudden stands out in front of you and says, stop or go this direction or go that direct direction. I was a military police officer in the Marine Corps. And I don't know, there was something about that job. I enjoyed that. I think if I was given an opportunity, I might take it today. If it paid enough to feed my family. But just directing traffic, you know, pointing it out, trying to keep traffic moving. When you pull up, I hope you recognize and you see that police officer standing there getting your attention. You need to respond. There's something important. He's trying to keep you from going into an area where the traffic stopped. Listen, God's still speaking today. You know, we're reading about the messenger that came before Jesus, John the Baptist, and of course we're going to be talking about Jesus as we. More and more as we get to the Christmas season, specifically Him coming. But I want to tell you, God is coming today on a regular basis. He's speaking to you if you're listening, not only in His Word, but in His Spirit. As we are willing to take a moment and pay attention. It's not easy, right? I mean, I'm just as susceptible to anybody else. I'm driving down the road and you're looking at something else, you're thinking about something else. Life gets you spinning. That's why we got to take time. Praise God. I'm so thankful that you took the time to pause and come here this morning and listen to the Word of God so that we can get ourselves, our ears tuned so we can listen as He speaks. He's still speaking today. John points to the way who brings joy and hope to the world. Again, I ask you this morning, I encourage you if you proclaim yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ, that you take up the mantle of John and you decide this week and on in throughout your life that you're going to attempt to point the way to the one who brings peace into this world. Zechariah reminds us that following Jesus is the way of peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You sent this messenger, that You cared enough for us to send somebody to prepare. And Lord, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and for what He has done for us, and what You're continuing to do for us as You speak to us through Your Word, through Your Holy Spirit. God, I ask You, Lord, to help each of us that we would respond. Lord, if there be somebody here this morning that something's going on in their life, they recognize the darkness, they don't sense the joy that you proclaim is available in Christ, that this might be the day that they decide they're going to thoroughly examine their lives to pursue your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is our Communion Sunday, something that we do once a month here at Vanderhoof Baptist. And we have what we call open communion. What that means is if you're here this morning and you've chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, then we welcome you to take part in our communion service. I want to read to you just a couple verses out of Matthew. A few verses out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Excuse me. Chapter 26. Beginning of verse 26. Matthew 26, 26. Speaking of the Lord's Supper. This is what Jesus did in preparing and setting us on the pathway to do what we're doing now some 2,000 years ago. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This was the Last Supper that we often refer to that Jesus had with his disciples. And this is where we learned this idea of us regularly having a time of reflection. And I want to tell you, I've learned some things from you all in this church. Some of you have, we've had discussions about communion, and I know quite often I approach communion, it's me, I just kind of lean in that direction as it being a somber time, that we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. And it is important for us to remember his death and what he done for us, and how that we receive forgiveness of sins because of his broken body and because of his blood that was shed. And Paul reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians that it's a time for us to examine ourselves as to where we are. But as I was thinking about as we're heading into the Christmas season, I want to try, although I just shared to you my view, I want to lean the other direction too. This is a celebration. It is a time for us to celebrate the gift that Jesus Christ did for us. Praise God, he didn't just stay that little baby. He grew up and he gave himself for us so that we could be set free of all of those things in life that troubles you, that you get frustrated with, that you find takes away your joy. Jesus Christ is trying to be a fulfillment of all those things. And if we simply respond with childlike faith, we can receive that wonderful gift. So this morning, as we are about to take part in communion, of those who are going to share, please go ahead and come forward. I would encourage you to think about this as a celebration. Think about this as simply receiving a gift like you would on Christmas morning. And I want to tell you, this is a gift that's beyond any other gift you've been given. You probably can think back of some things in your life that you gave at times that excited you, that you thought someone really cared about you. Someone took some time, put some effort into this. I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father put so much effort in this gift. And as Joe said this morning, you need to choose. You need to choose personally to take it and open it up. And I want to encourage you, that's not just a one-time event. We need to be regularly choosing to open up this free gift that Jesus Christ has offered. Lynn, would you ask the blessing on the bread?
Thank you.
you for this gift. Help us to remember. Help us to receive what this means. Help us to each understand what a blessing it is that you've opened up your table to all of us. Help us not only receive it, but also have a desire to share that table with others that we come in contact. Bless this cup. Bless it through our bodies. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the way of peace. Let us drink together in remembrance of him until he returns. Joe, do you have a song for us this morning? Silent Night. The Lord's speaking to your heart in any way. If you feel like you need to respond, whether in prayer here or prayer in your place or go home in prayer. Pray. Please respond as he leaves.
Round yon burning Appreciate it. And all of you that helped me out. And choir practice tonight at 6. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare, dear Lord, for this week ahead, we'll make a step, dear Lord, that goes out this door. And dear Lord, let that step start us on a path that helps us to be your messenger, to tell others, to show others, to help others, dear Lord, understand what having you in our lives means to them, or can mean to them, dear Lord, especially what it means to us. In all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we understand, dear Lord, help us to know that you are Lord.